morning, everyone. My name is Angel Pereira. I'm a graduate student at UC Davis, and today I'm going to show you the research I've done for my master's program. So, climate change is a reality, and it's affecting not only global temperatures and precipitation patterns, as it's affecting many ecosystem processes. So, today, for the next few minutes, I'm going to show you how elevated CO2 and ozone can affect the soil nitrogen transformations during the soybean growing season. So, a little bit of a background about CO2. The atmospheric CO2 concentrations has increased from the past few decades from levels of 280 to 387 parts per million. That is the concentration today. And model-based predictions estimated that CO2 concentrations will reach up to 550 for the middle of this century. And meanwhile, tropospheric ozone concentrations have increased by 35% since 1750. And the highest concentrations of ozone are often found in rural areas of the Northern Hemisphere. These both gases have opposite effects on plants. For example, CO2 increases the photosynthetic rates of the plants, and this leads to a higher production of above ground biomass, root biomass, and seed yield. It also increases the water use efficiency of plants because it decreases the stomata conductance of plants, and this makes with the plants transpire less. On the other hand, ozone decreases the photosynthetic rates of plants, which will lead to a lower growth rate of plants. So we can see in this graph, it decreases by about 20% the above ground biomass and about 15% of the root biomass. And it also decreases seed yield of soybeans. So based on that, we hypothesized that elevated CO2, since it will increase the plant biomass, it will also increase the plant residues added to the soil. And this will activate or increase the microbial activities in the soil. So with that, the nitrogen cycle will run faster. This means that it might be that the plant will uptake more nitrogen since it will be doing more photosynthesis and growing more, or since there will be more residues being added to the soil, this may be like a substrate for denitrification. We also hypothesized that when we had elevated ozone concentrations, the photosynthesis rates will be decreased, and then the litter or residue added to the soil from the plants will also be decreased, which will reduce the soil microbial activities. And this will cause a tightening of the nitrogen cycle. What does that mean? That means that, for example, since there are less plant material added to the soil, less nitrogen will be mineralized, and the pool of available nitrogen will be smaller, and also there will be less substrate for nitrogen denitrification. So when we have both gases combined, since CO2 reduces the stomatal conductance of plants, the plant will uptake less ozone, and we expect that CO2 will ameliorate the effects of ozone. So our objectives in this study was to determine if this elevated CO2 and ozone can affect or modify the nitrogen cycle in a soybean agroecosystem. We also want to determine if CO2 is able to ameliorate or offset the effects of ozone, and whether different plant phenological stages and soil environment can interact with elevated CO2 and ozone. So our study was located at the soy phase facility in Illinois, in which the CO2 concentration was elevated to 550 parts per million, and the ozone was elevated 20% above the ambient conditions. Our treatments were distributed in a randomized complete block design with 4 replicates. This is a picture of our experimental plot. The green pipes are responsible for spray the gas into the crops. And inside these rings, we have equipment which keep measuring constantly if the concentrations are of CO2 or ozone are reaching our target concentration. So we collected soil samples during 3 stages of plant growth, of the soybean plant growth. The first one was at the 4th trifoliolate leaf, which is when the plants are very little. And the second stage we collected soils was at the full pod. That was when the plants are huge and using a lot of nutrients from the soil. And the third stage we collected the soil samples was at the full maturity, when the plants are senescing. We collected soil from the rhizosphere, which is the soil that is in under the influence of roots, in contact with the roots. And we also collected soils from the bulk soil, which is the soil that is free of roots and not in contact with the roots of the plant. We quantified total nitrogen, which is mostly organic nitrogen plus a small fraction of inorganic nitrogen in most cases. And we quantified the 2 pools of inorganic nitrogen, which is ammonia and nitrate. We also look at the microorganisms involved in the nitrogen cycle. We look at the total bacteria, the nitrifier, and the denitrifier community using a molecular approach in which it quantifies the copy number of the genes of the function we are looking at. For example, we quantified the gene copy number of the MOA gene, which is the gene of the that all nitrifiers bacteria have. And we also quantified the NOZ genes, that is the gene of the denitrifiers. So here is our, we have this graph, which kind of changed a little bit. But the first section of the graph shows the total soil nitrogen. And in this graph, we show the change that the treatment have caused compared to the control. For example, in this first section, we observed that elevated ozone increased total nitrogen, while elevated CO2 did not change the total soil nitrogen concentrations. The second section of the graph shows the soil nitrate, and we did not observe any effect of the treatments for soil nitrate. For soil ammonia, however, we observed that elevated ozone decreased the soil ammonium content in the soil, while the elevated CO2 did not affect. We observed that when we had both gases combined, these plots follow the trend of elevated ozone. And looking at the nitrifiers community through the quantification of the MOA gene, we observed no effects of the treatment or soil environment and stages of plant growth. Whereas when you quantified the NOZ gene, we observed that elevated ozone increases the abundance of the NOZ genes compared to the plots that did not receive ozone enrichment. Well, another observation we made is that NOZ genes population abundance are higher at the rhizosphere compared to the bulk soil across all the different stages of the plant growth. And we also observed that the population of denitrifiers are the lowest during the plant senescence. So in summary, we observed that elevated CO2 did not affect any of the nitrogen pools or microbial communities, even though elevated CO2 increases plant biomass production. This indicates that the mineralization and nitrogen uptake rates are increased, which would partially correlate with our hypothesis number one. We also observed that the accumulation of total nitrogen under elevated ozone may be due to a reduction in the mineralization rates. And this also may be the reason why the pool of ammonium in the soil is smaller in these treatments. And we also observed that the reduced plant growth under elevated CO2 led to more availability of nitrate in the soil, and the microorganisms are using this nitrate to increase loss of nitrogen through denitrification. This is shown by the higher denitrifiers community abundance we observed. So I'd like to thank my funding source, the NSF Foundation, and also the graduate group in horticulture and agronomy, and Jastrow Award and Fellowship from UC Davis. Thank you for your attention. Are there any questions? Thanks for your question. So she asked if why we did not, since soybean is a nitrogen fixer species, we should have considered that there is a new input of nitrogen coming from the symbiosis of the rhizobium and the plant, and that's another source of nitrogen to the ecosystem, right? And if we had considered that, we would have had different maybe conclusions, right? Yeah. So what we've been seeing in the literature is that the fixation of nitrogen in the plant goes only to the plant, and just like a negligible amount of that nitrogen goes to the soil, right? Only after the decomposition of the plant tissues, that's the source of nitrogen, and that's what the only source we are considering. Does that answer your question?
So sorry, systems have been there, I can't remember exactly for how many years, but it's a phrase site that has been there for several years, so the input, could have now been seen, so the higher nitrogen with respect to the control could be after the results of higher nitrogen fixation in the system.
Oh, so you're considering the previous, yes. Yeah, so that's, we have the control, which had no treatment.
We do have time for a couple more questions. I'll ask a question along the same line. Were there any fertilizers, external fertilizers applied to those systems?
No.
Do you consider those systems to be nitrogen deficient? Nitrogen?
Yes. That site's pretty fertile. They receive fertilization for potassium and phosphorus as needed. Before the growing season, they do the analysis of the soil and they determine if it's necessary or not. However, for nitrogen, the soybeans receive no fertilization for nitrogen, so it's pretty efficient.
Last call for questions. Ms. Al, can you join me again to thank Angel for...
Thank you.